From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Fact checkers are in what you might call their busy season, with the November 6th election just a few weeks away. Add to that the process of hearings on the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And so we're going to scan some of the fact-checking landscape right now. Chris Nichols from the PolitiFact California team is with me. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Beth.
Some fact-checking with respect to the Kavanaugh investigation and the Blasey Ford hearing last week has been handled by the National PolitiFact team.
It has. They've paid close attention to this controversy, like most of America, and they've published several explainer articles that answer common questions about last week's hearing, about this week's FBI investigation. They've also debunked some of these false and outrageous and just completely unfounded claims that are making the rounds on social media, both about Judge Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford.
So let's go through a few of the examples, and we can point everyone to the website to see and read more about this. But start with the question of what a Kavanaugh probe might have looked like. We still don't know the full details of exactly what the FBI is encompassing in its investigation, but PolitiFact took somewhat of a look at that.
Right. And they spoke with legal experts. They said that the list of potential people that would be interviewed would be relatively short. Most likely, it would center on these attendees at this alleged gathering in the summer of 1982, where Ford claims that Kavanaugh assaulted her, as well as corroborating witnesses. So the one that they pointed to that would be most relevant would be Mark Judge. That's Kavanaugh's longtime friend who was alleged to be at this party.
Which it's been confirmed that the FBI did speak to Mark Judge. So a question, and PolitiFact looked at this, is whether the interviewees are placed under oath in this conversation.
Right. I thought that was kind of interesting. They found that they would not likely be placed under oath, but then they also pointed out that lying to the FBI is a crime, and it's punishable by up to 5 years in prison. So obviously the stakes are pretty high in any interviews that take place with these individuals.
We're not going to get a public report on the FBI's findings. But meanwhile, there are some pretty wild things circulating on social media, and PolitiFact did do some checking on some of these images and statements.
That's right. And some of these are just plain ridiculous. I think the value that PolitiFact offers is that they can be a little bit of a backstop to some of these claims. These claims, I think one might think, okay, they're obviously fake or false, but they get spread so far and wide. People do see them. Some people, you would have to think, actually do believe them. One, for example, is a photo that PolitiFact looked at. It claims to social media users claim that it's Brett Kavanaugh as a young man passed out on a couch from drinking. And PolitiFact took a look at this. They looked at the photo. They found it's a stock photo from Getty Images, not Brett Kavanaugh. They rated this one pants on fire. That's just one example. They also fact-checked a headline from a hyper-partisan website, and that headline said that Christine Blasey Ford claims she called a friend on her cell phone after the attack in 1982. And of course, cell phones really did not exist back in the early 1980s. PolitiFact also went back, checked the testimony, the actual testimony by Ford, and found she never said anything remotely like this, and also rated that pants on fire.
When did the first cell phone come out? I think PolitiFact actually checked that detail, didn't it?
It looks like the first ones came out they were quite expensive, maybe in March of 1984.
All right. So many of the questions from the day of the hearing were also looked at by PolitiFact. There's a detailed article. Maybe you can touch on a few of those.
Sure. They put out an article that answered what the key takeaways were from Ford's testimony, the key takeaways from Kavanaugh's testimony. I think an interesting one they looked at was Kavanaugh and the legal drinking age at the time. Mm. At the time in Maryland, 18 was the legal drinking age, but then that switched in July of 1982. So the same summer that's in question, it changed from 18 to 21. So that adds sort of a wrinkle into the whole discussion as to whether drinking was legal for the high schoolers in question.
So Kavanaugh would not have legally been allowed to drink until February of some years later.
Right, at least when the law switched there in July 1982, right?
And I'm saying February because that's when his birthday was. I think some of the other questions that they looked at are on the website, and it's safe to say that their work is ongoing. And while some of this might seem either obvious or ludicrous, PolitiFact does have a role in what's happening right now.
It does. And I think, you know, I think we as journalists, we're well aware of what the news is. We follow it for a living. A lot of close news observers do, too. But I think there are folks who, you know, maybe their only news comes from a social media feed or a headline on a partisan website. And so PolitiFact is, again, trying to be that backstop, trying to make sense of some of these claims and call them out when they're completely ridiculous.
This is going to move, this being the Kavanaugh nomination process, is going to move to the full Senate at some point. Senator Mitch McConnell saying he wants it done by late this week. That's going to be a separate issue that senators will take up from where I'm going to transition to now, which is a fact check about Senator Ted Cruz. And this has to do with a claim he made about the state of California.
That's right. Senator Cruz is running for re-election. He made a claim in a recent Senate debate with his Democratic challenger, Congressman Beto O'Rourke. Our colleagues over at PolitiFact Texas tipped us off to this, and we have a soundbite from Ted Cruz.
There are also states that implement the kind of policies Congressman O'Rourke supports. High taxes, high regulations, open border states. You look at California, which is hemorrhaging population. You know, the cost of a one-way U-Haul from California to Texas is more than 300% the cost the other way around.
Should we back up and talk about the challenger that he has? He's running against, he referenced him, Congressman O'Rourke.
That's right. He's essentially trying to say that O'Rourke would offer up a Texas that has high taxes, regulations the way California does. And then he talks about California's hemorrhaging population, which is what really caught our attention. There's a lot of debates about California's taxes and regulations. We certainly are a high tax state. But the thing, the factual statement that really seemed quite a bit off was this idea that we're hemorrhaging population. We looked at sort of one lens of this. You could make the argument that when it comes to people leaving California for other states, we are losing more people to other states, including to Texas, than we are gaining back from the rest of the country. So in that one narrow sort of interpretation, you could say that Cruz does have a point. That's been happening for many, many years. But when you look at California's overall population, we are actually growing by more than 300,000 people per year. That's been consistent over the past decade. And that's due to natural births and from also from international migration. So the numbers keep going up overall. And when you look at this idea that we are just rapidly losing population, it's just not the case. We did give Cruz credit for sort of this one narrow interpretation, but overall we rated this mostly false.
You're listening to Chris Nichols, reporter for the PolitiFact California team. Since we're talking about California, let's talk about a particular issue being highlighted right now because of a ballot measure. Let's go to rent control and a Prop 10 fact check.
Well, I think that most folks, if they're watching TV these days, like I do, they're seeing these TV ads for both the Yes on 10 and the No on 10 campaigns. This is the rent control ballot measures that that voters will decide in November. It would essentially eliminate a state law on rent control and allow cities to go ahead if they want to create their own rules for rent control, potentially expanding and strengthening rent control across California. The Yes on 10 campaign has a TV ad out that says that essentially Prop 10 would have no effect on homeowners. And that is a claim that the opponents have seized on, and they are quite upset about it. They have contacted broadcasters and said that this is a claim that recklessly disregards the truth. They've asked them to take this particular ad off the airwaves. And so we've decided to look into it and examine that very topic of whether or not Prop 10 would have any effect on homeowners.
Which you're in the midst of right now, correct?
That's right. We hope to publish that, place a rating on it, and publish it later this week.
All right, let's go to the governor's race. And you have done a multitude of fact checks on both candidates, John Cox and Gavin Newsom. And I'll again direct people to the website to be able to see that. But you do have a new one today that involves Gavin Newsom.
We do. Newsom was at a campaign stop last month in Los Angeles County. He made a claim about child poverty that really was a sweeping claim, such a big issue in California.
The richest and the poorest state. 7.4 million people live below the poverty line when you consider the only thing that you must consider, and that's cost of living. Close to 46% you consider the same cost of living are children at or near poverty. I heard those young kids in the background. Yeah. Close to half of the children at or near poverty. How can that be?
How can that be? Is it in fact true?
Newsom's campaign told us that a July 2018 report by the Public Policy Institute of California backs this up. We took a look at that report. It is a credible report. It does back up what he says. We spoke with the study's co-author, Caroline Danielson. She mentioned that the report very much does take into account cost of living. That's a really key piece of context that Newsom added. And she talked about this CPM, or child poverty measure, which measures poverty across the state and looks at cost of living.
The child poverty rate, according to the CPM, is a little over 21% in California. And then if you combine that with children who are living within 1.5 times the poverty line, you get a total of nearly 46% of children living in or near poverty in California.
I know it's not your role to be surprised or not by information. You go into it looking for this span of ratings from true all the way through to pants on fire, an outright lie. But this one must have had an element of surprise in terms of the investigation.
Well, I think it did. I mean, we're dealing with such a difficult subject, child poverty. I think there's a lot been written about poverty in general in California. This extra element of the youngest Californians being at or near poverty really, again, caught our attention. We wanted to know whether or not that's true. We've done other fact checks just on the overall poverty rate. And of course, California, again, when you factor in cost of living, does have the highest poverty rate in the nation. But this is another sort of category that was pretty interesting to us. And I'm sure it would be a big part of the race in the remaining weeks of the race for governor.
So he made this claim while he was campaigning in L.A. County, saying that close to half the children in California are at or near poverty. And the overall rating by PolitiFact California?
Well, we rated this true. We found both the PPIC report and a related census report backed up the claim.
All right. You have a full plate. Well, we all do for Monday. Do you want to take us into a quick look at what's coming up for PolitiFact California? Monday is the day of the gubernatorial debate.
Right. I think all of our journalists will be monitoring that debate and listening to what both Gavin Newsom and John Cox have to say. Our role will be to fact check their statements based on what they've accomplished in the past, whether they're being accurate about those accomplishments, about issues in California from immigration to climate change to public safety. We'll be looking at all of them and producing fact checks throughout that day and probably into the rest of that week.
And you can find those and other fact checks
at politifact.com/California.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Again, that is Monday. KQED is hosting the debate. And the way the day will go for us at CAP Radio is Insight, as usual, at 9. You will hear the full hour of the debate, which will be moderated by Scott Schaefer, from 10 to 11. And then another hour hosted by me on CAP Radio of reaction and analysis, including, as Chris said, online at capradio.org and by Twitter, comments and responses from the various journalists in the CAP Radio newsroom. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.